This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. You may be seated. We are forming a young adult group called Tune In, and I have been meeting with seven amazing young adults over a couple of meetings, and we met last week, and we've been brainstorming how we're going to be forming this group and what's going to be best to do. And so one of the brainstorming activities that I had was newsprint with some questions on it, just to pick their brains a little bit. They are my advisory board. You might think I'm in my 20s and 30s, but I'm really not. And so one of the questions, though, on the newsprint that they came over to, and then they would answer just however they wanted in drawing or words, asked, what's going on in the world, especially with those in their 20s and 30s, and what are we being invited to do? So there were several responses on the newsprint, but two have everything to do with our theme for today. One was written by Justin Hall, who was our vocalist right here. He's one of the members of the group. And he said that 20s and 30s today are lost with so much direction. Lost with so much direction. So it kind of took me aback, and I asked him to elaborate, and he did. Quite eloquently, and just said that there's so much, you know, they're bombarded with direction and guidance and do this and do that or don't do this or be cool this way. It's just overwhelming, lost with so much direction. The other response that I'd like to hold up, and I'm not sure who wrote it, but they wrote overstimulation. Again, a need for peace and nature, a need to get out of the house and away from the computer. Peace and nature. The whole idea of Unplugged is to unplug from the noise and harassment of the world. To be able to unplug maybe from churches that felt meaningless. And there's a lot of amazing churches, but maybe that's what brought you here. Or maybe people come with no church, and they're looking for a place of peace and sustenance where they can then have strength and courage to go out into the world. Perhaps that is our whole motivation here, to be workers outside of this place for Christ and come together and love one another and support one another so that we can do that. Well, our theme for today, which brings me to Advent 2, the second Sunday of Advent, is peace. Last week was hope. This week is peace. As we are preparing to welcome the Christ child once again in our hearts. It's like this renewal. Every Christmas, we have this wonderful opportunity of yet a little more birthing, a little more midwifing to do with Christ within us. And so that's our theme today. And if you think about Justin's remark, right? Lost with so much direction. I think that speaks for all of us. Maybe more so with that age group, but I think for all of us. Seeking peace. Seeking connection from within. Not from all the bombardment out here. Peace from within. And that's what we're told time and time again. But that peace is within us. If you think about that other comment that was written, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing. Well, the people in the day of Jesus wanted that peace. And life was anything but calm, anything but calm. They would be persecuted if they didn't follow the Roman rulers. And so to follow someone else, they were really risking their lives. And today we're told the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, we don't hear about the baby Jesus and the road to Bethlehem like we do in Matthew and Luke. We hear right away the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ comes with this crazy guy, John the Baptist, this wild man who ate locusts for dinner and honey. And he's in the wilderness. He's down at the River Jordan. And he's baptizing, as they did since ancient days, and preaching repentance of sin, repentance for sins, to turn our lives around. And people were flocking to him. And it wasn't just like going next door. It was an 8-day walk on foot, mostly, because they weren't very wealthy people. And they would do that. They would walk downhill from all the Judean countryside, and the text today tells us all of Jerusalem. So, I mean, this was a popular guy. Rumor had it, though, that he wasn't just talking about himself. And it wasn't only for confession and the repentance that he was talking about. It was because he was talking about this amazing man that would come after him, and that he had been baptizing with water, but that Jesus was going to be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. So he's like saying, if you think I'm good, you just wait. You ain't seen nothing yet. And people came. So when he cried out, repent, it was this Greek word metanoite, and it really means to turn around. It means to turn around. They had had enough of the power struggles in that day, the barbaric punishments, the ridicule, the persecutions. It also means, in another translation, is to change one's mind or purpose. You're going in this direction and you know that it might be sinful, or you know that it may be going against God, or you know that it might be just going nowhere. And this cry in the wilderness of our souls is saying, turn around. Change your mind, change your purpose, and look to Christ. That's what repentance is. And that was the cry. And boy, did they. And they were baptized, and they would confess their sins. They would confess their sins. And maybe too, if they were fearful, they would then ask God to show them how to find that peace. We are going to do a little exercise. This sermon is a little bit different today because I'm going to invite you to preach it within yourselves as well. And the piece of paper that you received when you came in and the pencils, if anybody didn't get them when you came in and you need the ushers to bring them to you, please raise your hand if you came in from the side door. Up front, do you need pencils? So there's a couple down front here. So I'd like you to think about anything that you would like to let go of. Anything in your life, and you can draw it as a symbol, you can actually write it out if you'd like, anything that you would like to let go of. And I'm going to ask that when you write it out, and if you already know it, you can write it right now, I would ask once you write it out, you bring it forward and you place it in this bowl on the altar, in this bowl. And when you do, use it as a symbol that you are giving that over to God, even if it's just for this service. You can take it back if you want to. I mean, we usually do that anyway. But this exercise is to give it over to God. And the more we practice doing that, the more we will be able to do that. So when you're ready, you can just come forward and do that. You don't have to do it in any order. Just come forward and place it in the bowl. Plus, nobody's going to read these. You have my word. I will have them safe and sound. The Tune In group is going to have a bonfire at the beginning of the year, and we're going to use this as a ritual for our bonfire. So know that we will be praying with these, and we won't open them up or read them. They'll just be burned, and we'll know that God knows what you're writing. So anything that you'd like to let go of, go ahead and come on up and put it in the bowl. That's the first part. Frederick Buechner, a famous theologian and writer, says that repentance is coming to your senses. coming to your senses of who you really are as a child of God. I love that one. Coming to your senses. We're told too many times in this world that we are sinners and we're bad, when God is trying to tell us how amazing we are if we'll turn to Him and let go of all that other stuff. So as you are putting it in, let it go. Let it go. And once you're back to your seats, I'd like you to begin to get comfortable, because the best way that I know of to release and fill up with the divine, so it's like this prayer of release, you're letting go of everything unlike God, and now you're going to be open to God to fill up that void, is with centering prayer. And if you don't know what centering prayer is, we're only going to do 3 minutes. So don't freak out. It's not going to be an hour of silence, but it will be 3 minutes. And I have a timer here, and I'm going to sit down and do it with you. And I will start it with a chime that sounds like this. And I'll end it with the same chime. And the idea in centering prayer is that you just get quiet, and when your mind wanders, because it will wander, you come back to a sacred word. How many of you have ever done centering prayer? Yeah? Okay, so some of you may already have a sacred word. My sacred word is yes, because it needs to be a word that doesn't make you think. It's supposed to bring you back to the only intention of centering prayer. And that intention is to say yes to the presence and activity of God within you. And you better buckle in if you're serious about that. The consent is to say yes to the presence and activity of God within. So I'll ring the bell. When your mind wanders, you bring it back to that word. If it wanders 1,000 times, that's okay. Thomas Keating, who is one of the founders of centering prayer, not the founders, but he rejuvenated it in the 70s because it's really from ancient times. A lot of people think that Jesus did this same form of centering prayer when he would go off into the mountains. Thomas Keating says that if you have to come back 1,000 times to your sacred word, that's a celebration of saying, oh good, 1,000 times I get to come back to God. And God's always there waiting. Okay, any questions? No? All right. So let us enter into that time. And when your mind wanders, ever so gently come back to your centering word.